The first one is a couple of drafts that I would like to have us introduce as committee bills. The first one is LC Draft 1446. This is one that I worked with Representative Ackerman on. And what this is that if this were to pass out of the legislature, it would go to the voters of the state of Oregon as a referral for a constitutional amendment. And the amendment would basically state that when the voters, through an initiative measure, create some kind of a mandate on state government, that they must also identify a funding source. So, in other words, it would get rid of some of these unfunded mandates that we have been faced with over the last 15 years. The second one is LC Draft 1787, and I worked with Senator Ringo on this one. We have a problem in the Portland metropolitan area, and the problem is that when a taxi company that is based in, say, for example, Beaverton or Wilsonville or Gresham, somewhere in the outlying area, and they take a fare from their home city to the Portland airport or into downtown Portland, they are unable to pick up a fare to take back out, which, number one, is a waste of their resources, but also is a waste of transportation resources, because if somebody's sitting at the airport and they need to get to Wilsonville and they know that the Wilsonville cab company is on their way with a fare that they're bringing, and being able to take that same taxi back out would only make sense. But instead, what they must do is call one of the licensed companies. So what this would do is allow Metro, the Metropolitan Service District, to license the taxis for the full metropolitan area, and then that way if a person is needing to get to Beaverton or Hillsborough and there's a local cab company that's bringing another fare, they would be able to pick that company to take them back. So those are the two drafts. I'll entertain any questions if you would like. Representative Przanski?
Clarification on the last one, the 1787.
Yes.
Is it the Port Authority that's actually now doing some type of oversight of the people they're allowing, in this instance, the cab companies, into their area? I'm just curious.
That's a very good question, and I think that I don't think the Port Authority is actually licensing the taxis. I think that there are that is all done through the City of Portland.
Okay. I know ours in Eugene is done to the city. I just wasn't sure what the hang-up was, but sounds like a good bill.
Okay. Thank you. So the chair would move LC draft, let me go to the first one first, 1446 as to be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move LC Draft 1787 to be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you very much. I'll close the work session on the introduction of committee measures.
Could you work with me?
Yeah.
Ringo. Thanks.
Okay. Next on our agenda is we are going to do an informational meeting. We have done a very good job, members, of sort of clearing our docket. We do have a few bills that we're holding at this point for a variety of reasons, but otherwise our bill docket has been fairly well cleaned out. But what I wanted to do is take a little bit of time this morning to have Jeff Tyrens from the Oregon Progress Board come and visit with us a little bit about performance measurements, benchmarks, what's going on, what the future sort of holds, and also I've asked that he visit with us a little bit about the new process that he's been working on in this last interim with Legislative Fiscal and Department of Administrative Services on developing benchmarks for the various agencies and how that's going to sort of be tucked into and rolled into our budgeting process during the course of this session. So, Jeff, with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, and thank you very much for being here.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much for inviting me. For the record, my name is Jeff Tryons. I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Progress Board. what I'd like to do, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Progress Board and what it is, just so any new members who might not be familiar with who we are will get at least the gist of what we do. But I really want to talk mainly about how we use this to improve state government results. That's going to be the focus of the presentation this morning. There's a practice that's been out there for a while called managing for results. And in the private sector, the way managing for results... we need our screen. I'm so sorry. I'm showing my slideshow to myself and nobody else. Nobody
that's a very good one, I'm sure.
To look at.
Can we dim the lights a little bit, I don't want to affect your ability to see your screen.
Oh, no. No, my screen is perfectly fine, Mr. Chair. You stop it whenever you want it.
That's great.
Is that good?
That's good. Great. That's good.
And you have copies of the slides here. So the idea behind this, and this is just a little bit of theory, if you don't mind, was that historically when we manage for results, we tried to take all the core functions of an organization, and this began in the private sector and has sort of been extended into the public sector, and we tried to get them all headed the same way. So the idea was you got your human resources people, you got your work process managers, you got your strategic planners, and you all had the same vision of where you were headed, and you were all trying to get yourself internally aligned. Well, when you look at something like state government, you start off with this kind of a picture. You've got all kinds of entities that have all kinds of issues internally. And what we've historically focused on was getting them aligned internally. But the fact is, even if they're all aligned internally, it doesn't mean we're all still headed the same way with that internal alignment model. So what we've tried to do with it, with our strategic planning process in Oregon, which exists in statute, is to find four common elements which allow us to align our state government more effectively. One is having a unified vision. Two is having meaningful measures. Three is having shared strategies. And number four is being able to use outcomes in order to evaluate our success. So those are the four elements that I want to organize my remarks around in terms of how we use our strategic planning process in Oregon to achieve more of that alignment. So let me start with the unified vision. And please interrupt me if you have any questions or if this is not clear. Let me start with unified vision. Oregon has a strategic vision called Oregon Shines. This was the report we did for the legislature in 01. The 03 report will be out in March. And if you want to get just the thumbnail of what Oregon Shines is, if you look on page 4, that is Oregon Shines on a page. And the rest of this has the report on how we're doing with the benchmarks, which for anybody who doesn't know what they are, I'll explain in a minute. So we have a very good strategic vision for Oregon. It's been nationally and internationally recognized as a very forward-looking approach to organizing strategically. It is for Oregon, though. It is not just for state government. This is not a strategic plan for state government. This is a vision for Oregon, which the legislature requires the Progress Board to redo every 8 years. The last time the board went through this exercise was 97, and we'll start again in 04 to do a sort of a new vision for Oregon. The Progress Board is chaired by the governor. It has a member from each of the houses of the legislature. So we have a senator on, Senator Harper is on, and Representative Williams are on the Progress Board, and they represent the interests of the legislature. There are 9 other citizen members on the board as well. Just real quickly on the Oregon Shines vision, it essentially has broad statements of the goals that we want for Oregon, and then under that it has a lot of specific objectives. It's organized around economy, community, and the environment. We have an underlying strategy which we call the circle of prosperity, which is what drives this whole excuse me, process in Oregon. And the three key things that we believe that we influence, we control, that are most important for our long-term well-being are a clean, appealing environment, a talented workforce, and responsive public services. The idea behind that is those will attract the base to have the diverse value-adding industries that have the well-paying jobs, which will in turn create jobs and opportunities for Oregonians, and will allow us to generate revenues for those services that we need, which then will allow us to keep the circle sort of running forever, essentially. Now, I have to tell you a story, which is that my mom is 83 and she lives on the East Coast. And she knows a little bit about what I do. She doesn't know quite exactly what I do. And so I call her every Sunday, and so we were talking last week, and she says, you know, I saw this article in the national news about how bad things are in Oregon. She said, it just seems like things are terrible out there. She says, what is it that you're doing that's a, you know, I thought your job was to make things good in Oregon. And I said, well, Mom, you know, we're just having some challenges right now, but it is. I mean, it's made me stop and think. Well, you know, we had this Oregon Shines vision during the good years. Everybody wanted to know, well, how do you do it, Oregon? How do you do it? And now we're in this challenging time. And I think one of the things our challenge is to not lose sight of the fact that in the long term, these still are the things that are going to allow us to have a healthy, prosperous economy and healthy, prosperous society. That brings us to the second part, which is the meaningful measures piece. Oregon is very well known for the benchmarks. We have these 90 indicators of well-being, and they're listed in the back here, the 01 version. You can see them all in their numerical glory. We only made one real substantive change in terms of adding measures this time, the board did, which is they added the SIM this time around, which we haven't had in the past. And then they changed a number of the environmental measures. We're measuring the same kinds of things, but the measures themselves changed. As I said, that information is pretty much available on our website now, but the report will be out in about another 3 weeks. And the thing about the benchmarks that makes them unusual, made them especially unusual in 1989 when we started this, was that they are about results. They're not about how hard we're trying. They're actually about what results we are achieving as Oregonians. So, for instance, we look at literacy rates. We look at crime rates. We look at air and water quality. We don't look at the efforts that go into those results. That is, we don't report them. That's not what the focus is. So we don't look at how much we're spending on school. We want to know, you know, how well we're doing on literacy, because there are lots of ways to get the literacy, for instance. So that's the general idea with the benchmarks. One of the things that I've learned that is most important about this process is when it carries itself down to the local level. Most Oregonians don't relate to statewide measures of any kind, quite frankly. Whether it's a jobs measure, whether it's a measure of child well-being or environmental quality, they want to know what is it in their town or their county. So the Progress Board makes as much of this information as we possibly can available at the local level. And for us, that's primarily the county level. And in all of these counties, we work with local groups. It might actually be a local organization that calls itself a Progress Board. It might be the United Way that has gotten everybody organized around results. But we work with folks who are using this information in the same way we try and do it at the state level, which is to have a vision, to have some goals, and then to have some measures of how well, what the results are looking like over time.
So, Jeff, yes, you're showing about, what am I counting here, about 8 counties that are really involved in the...
13.
13 counties. Okay, I was quickly trying to color them in if you were had that up there. But the 13 counties in that are real heavily involved with some kind of a benchmarking effort, and the rest of the counties are just sort of...
Well, now, it's not fair to say that the rest of the counties are just sort of. I'll actually talk about one of the processes that we're involved in. It's called Senate Bill 555, which is the coordinated services for children... for children and families, and for that particular aspect, every county's involved because they have to. That's the law. But this is just an example of where independent organizations or ones that have been created. For instance, there's something in Multnomah County called the Portland Multnomah Progress Board, and the county auditor runs that. The city auditor runs that, and it's very much like what we do. If you go out to Baker, they have a progress board. If you go to Tillamook, they have a progress board. Well, they call it the Futures Council.
Yamhill County had.
Yamhill County.
Since we're colored. Yeah,
doesn't it?
I'm trying to remember. We
have one.
Well, you don't have a progress board, no. I was working with a woman there about a year and a half ago. I'm trying to remember her name now, who was trying to get something started, and I'm not sure that it's actually anything that's off the ground, but there was that's actually, I think, the only county on here that I wouldn't be able to actually name the organization of, but in almost all of these we have something that's in place. And it's not progress board sponsored. These are local groups that just want help from us, like this woman in Yamhill County, for instance. And I didn't go back and relook at that, but most all of these counties have something that's in operation. So I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. But I do have uh-huh. another question, real quickly, if I may, and that is the two counties that are just west of Multnomah and Clackamas. Isn't that Washington and Yamhill that are not colored?
No, let's see. We've got, yeah. Well, yes.
Washington,
because we've got Washington, and mm-hmm. Yeah, that is Yamhill down there, isn't that? Is that Yamhill that's not colored in?
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were.
Yeah, the one. That,
No. I was looking at that real quick. And I was thinking, oh God, Yamhill. Did I do that wrong?
Right here.
Yeah, that's Polk County. This is Yamhill County here, and this is Washington County up here.
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
What do I know? I don't.
So I was confused by your question.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I think we're colored. And who is that? That square?
That's Polk County.
There's a square. Oh, well, that's part of it.
You've got Multnomah, Clackamas.
Right. That's Polk there.
That's Polk. And then just immediately east of that is Marion County.
Right.
There.
That's
and then
Marion.
To the north is Clackamas.
That's
County.
Clackamas.
And
that's
Multnomah.
That's Multnomah.
And then just to the west is Washington. And then right there is Yamhill.
Oh.
And then just to the west of that is Tillamook.
And that's Tillamook.
Yeah.
And that's Columbia County, by the way, too. If we
yeah.
And that's Clatsop right there.
And Wasco's up.
Well, could you just put the names on the east?
We just did.
Well, I mean, I'd like to call these people and ask them who's doing it for them and how they got it going.
Well, I'd be happy to give you some names for these other counties if you want.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
One of the things that has worked very well for us, just for your information, is that we do rankings for counties in terms of how they do on the benchmarks over time. So we have a set of these, and one of them we have is called the Kids Index, and it is all of the benchmarks that relate to child well-being, prenatal care, infant mortality, mom smoking while pregnant, child abuse, teen pregnancy. We rank the counties on who has the best indicators. And then we go to AOC, the Association of Oregon Counties, and we give awards to both the top county as well as the most improved county. So you don't always have the counties that are always at the top receiving awards. You have the ones that move up the most as well. So you see, for instance, in 01, the number one county for kids in Oregon was Wallowa County, according to the benchmarks. Nosed out Washington County. So and the counties really like this. They really like the recognition. I went out to Ontario at the invitation of the chamber to give the sheriff the award for the most improved indicators that related to crime last time around. And the sheriff appreciated it. The chamber appreciated it. And it's a way to get people to pay attention to these numbers in a way that allows them, I think, to buy in a little bit more. Now, to get to the performance part, the questions you were asking earlier, the interest that you and other members have, Mr. Chair, benchmarks are about how well Oregon is doing. Performance measures, which is what we've been working on for the last year and a half, are how well state government is doing at influencing the benchmarks. So the benchmark is up here at the high societal level, and then we have agencies that either have major effects or minor effects on those indicators. And what we've tried to do is work with agencies to be clear about what their role is in influencing benchmarks and how we measure their success in those areas. So if you want to look at it like this. We've got agencies, whether it's a state agency, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a private sector group that are working to influence benchmarks. I mean, they might not wake up in the morning saying, I'm trying to influence a benchmark, but if they're working on reducing the teen pregnancy rate or creating more jobs in Oregon or improving habitat, all those things are in the benchmarks. But their work is kind of muddled in a lot of ways by external influences. I mean, the recession, for instance, is not something that an organization working on job creation could have stopped, and they have to deal with that. So there are all these external influences. So what we've tried to do is recognize that when working with agencies by doing trainings with them. And we've trained every state agency in the last year. We've had representatives from every agency, and we've gone in and worked with probably 15 agencies in their offices, you know, kind of working them through this process of developing measures that reflect their performance in reaching the benchmarks by saying the following. We want you to develop measures on your work. We got to know if you're doing your work. That's the first thing. We call those things outputs. But every piece of work has a strategy that's attached to it. Every agency, whether they know it or not, is carrying out some strategy in order to get to where they're supposed to be. So what are the measures that measure your strategy? And we call those things intermediate outcomes. So, and they then are supposed to be influencing benchmarks. I mean, that's the logic behind the way we work in state government and the way agencies organize their work. So this is as a result of House Bill 3358, which was enacted last session, which required the Progress Board to develop a set of performance measure guidelines which linked agencies up to benchmarks or other high-level outcomes if they didn't particularly have a measure that was theirs. We put together this training program with the timeline that I'll just go over really quickly. Budget instructions said, agencies, you got to follow these guidelines. Progress Board then, along with other folks from DAS, did training and hands-on work with agencies last spring. They were then required to submit their new measures, and I want to give you an example of what the measures look like. The handout that you have that looks like this is a spreadsheet. Those are the measures that came from the Commission for the Blind. This is a very good example of the kind of work that came out of this process. They submitted their first draft to us in the spring or summer. The Progress Board then organized a review panel, which is this box right here, which said, do these measures meet the criteria that were in the guidelines? And I'll explain the criteria in a minute.
What is TA here?
TA is technical assistance. Then we went through a process, which is still going on, believe it or not, of review, critique, revision, review, until we were happy with their measures that they met the criteria, they were clean, and they were happy with the measures they had. So we probably have out of 90 agencies that we worked with, we have probably 30 that are absolutely done. We've got another 29 that are almost done. And then we've got one agency that's still working on it. We've got 30, 59 that are almost done, because that gets up to 90, right? And then one more. But we will have, in Ways and Means, for every agency, they will have a set of measures with the data, which goes with their measures, with a write-up of what their measures are, where they're from, if you needed to replicate those, where you would go. And then the last piece is the critique that we've written for every agency that says, are they meeting the criteria, and what are the issues that still exist.
Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, Mr. Tarns, this is happening so much in the state that it makes me insane, so I thought I'd just bring it up to you. But, since we have 90 legislators, how come everything is done for Ways and Means? I've yet to understand that, because here we have all these policy committees, and, it just kind of boils down to, the last 2 weeks of the session when you're doing budget. And, because Ways and Means has a vast amount of information, everybody else who's not on there has little. So if somebody directs you to do this for Ways and Means, or who asks you to do this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, the process that was developed around the budget process, as a result of recommendations that came from the steering committee that we organized, that included three members of the legislature. And the idea was that if you want to get agencies to pay attention to information about their performance, that you attach it to their budget, because that's the place where they will go, oh, well, if this is going to affect my budget, then I need to do this right. And that is, in fact, what has happened. As the Ways and Means has said, where's your data? We don't want to look at your budget until we see the rest of these forms filled out. Agencies have just scurried to get the information, and now they call me up and say, I understand we have to get you to approve these before we can go the next step. Will you approve them? Now, as a practical matter, Madam Vice Chair, in times past when these things haven't been as linked to the budget approval process as they are now, agencies have paid less attention to them than they do now. Now, I am all in favor of having every member be completely informed about this, and as you and I were just sharing information at the beginning, this information is all up on our website. The benchmark information is up on our website. This information will also be up on our website once it's finished and agencies say we're done. So the recommendation that came out of the steering committee was that this be linked to the budget process. It's been linked to the budget process ever since they were in the instructions, and the reason for that was because the people on the advisory group felt that that was the way you would be able to get agencies' attention.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
The reason this concerns me, for example, Mr. Tarns, is that, my zero-based budgeting bill with performance management measurement, which Bill Morissette joined my bill on, is a very integral part of this. Now, no budget committee, no Ways and Means Committee recommended this last year.
Mm-hmm.
It passed, you know, three times unanimously, and then Senator Durfler didn't hear it for some reason, and we find ourselves needing it desperately now.
Mm-hmm.
Since the new governor, you know, will not, accept current service level budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not in process. So how do we measure these agencies, you know, on fiscal management when they have a system that we're not even condoning, which is continuing?
Mm-hmm. Was that a rhetorical question?
Right now it's an obvious question because those are the budgets we have right now.
Right.
I mean, there's still none of them are zero-based budgets, but yet the governor said he won't accept current service level. What on earth do we have as budgets if that's part of this measurement?
Let me take a stab at that for a second, Jeff. One of the things that you have to recognize is that current service level budgeting is still in the statute. It's still there, even though the governor has said that he does not want to use that. The other thing is that when the agencies were developing their budgets for the budget that we're seeing right now and for the governor's recommended budget, all they had to go on was what has been used in the past, because we haven't passed legislation previously. Now, one of the things that House Bill 3358 did was sort of gave the direction to start moving in this direction. And Jeff is absolutely right that until the work group was absolutely right that until the agencies see this attached to their budgets, this just becomes make work. It doesn't become real work to them as far as utilizing these as tools. And over the past year and a half, the Progress Board and the work group have worked to put these tools into our hands so that in the Ways and Means process, which is the process that we use for budgeting in this state, whether we like it or not, that is the process that we use. As Ways and Means are developing the budgets, one of the things that they're going to be asking the agencies for is, where is your data? So, for example, the Commission on the Blind will bring in this data. Now, we all can get this data. We can ask for it in printed form, and Jeff will be glad to give it to us, or we can go on the website, and as agency material is approved by Jeff, it's going to come up on the website. So you can go on the website and look and see what agencies there are. You can look through here. And you may not agree with all of the benchmarks, but the thing is the benchmarks and the data supporting what they're trying to do. But this is going to create the performance measures so that when we're back here in 05, we're going to be able to say, for example, to the Commission on the Blind, well, let's see, you gauge your process towards goals, and we can absolutely put these things out and say, were these accomplished,
right,
and how were they accomplished, and was the money, you know, and if there wasn't sufficient money, then that's something that can be talked about. If there was too much money, that's something that can be talked about. But this is the development and giving us a tool to start moving it, to move into the direction of a real performance based budget.
And
thank you, Mr. Chair. And a last follow-up then is, you know, in light of, since I didn't realize we were through our bills, since I have about 20 that should come before this committee regarding government, one of them is the evaluation of our agencies and their performance, because we had none in the last session.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that this committee, you know, would play a very important part in, you know, evaluating agencies, the six E's, as you might say, the efficiency, effectiveness, employee productivity, and economy, so forth. But with that would also have Kathy Perino's audit, you know, so, you know, together we have their management letters with their audit, or we can acquire the management letters, they don't come with the audit, plus your evaluation, plus then we should hear with associated local constituents who deal with those agencies. And I felt that, you know, that's a very critical issue right now before us, as we, you know, because of our financial situation, may have to combine some agencies, sell some agencies, privatize the OLCC. I mean, I'm just given ideas that have come out from my constituents. But nobody's doing this. So I guess I'm beginning to feel futile because I want to make it happen. I want to tell my constituents and the people of Oregon, yes, we understand that this division needs to be split up. For example, when, not to belabor it, Mr. Chair, but when Betsy Johnson did such an excellent job of splitting out aviation from transportation, it saved $40 million that year in administration. Now, to me, that was a very wise move. So when on transportation last session, we said, well, why don't we move rail out? Perhaps we don't need this vast amount of overhead to manage rail. Let's get it out of ODOT. So I'm just saying, unless each individual entity goes to some committee, I don't know where this happens. Mm-hmm. We can say, well, we're going to overhaul DHS, but we do it in the format of benchmarks, audits, constituent efficiency, effectiveness ratings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where we should do this. Seems like this is so excellent that this should be just almost a absolute in this process.
One of the things that I think you'll recognize, and Jeff, you might agree or disagree, and either is okay, is that up until now the benchmarks have been very, very little utilized by the legislature. And I think what you're seeing finally is, this is kind of like trying to turn around the Bismarck on a dime, and it isn't going to happen. It's something that's going to take several years to get turned around. But one of the things that we're finding now is that the legislature is interested in looking and utilizing the work of the Progress Board. They've been doing excellent work for many years, but it hasn't really been utilized by the legislature, and I think you're seeing a change in attitude. The other thing that I think you'll find is that the audit reports from the Secretary of State's office have not been well utilized. They've been utilized, but not as well as they could have been by the legislature. And those audit reports are out there. All we have to do is go get them. And so I think that's you're starting to see a change where people are saying, we really ought to see what the audit says about this agency. We ought to really see what are their, not only what are their benchmarks, but then what are their performance? What are we going to measure them against? And throughout the 90s, basically, it's been, you need a 13% increase? Well, let's see, and we fiddle here and fiddle there, and, well, okay, there's your 13.8% increase. Or your, 8% increase for whatever the case may be, but it wasn't really necessarily based on anything. And this is starting to give us the information so that we can actually start making those decisions based on something. And if we're going to eliminate agencies or groups or programs or whatever the case may be, this gives us a basis for being able to do that.
It's an excellent tool, and Mr. Chair, and last follow-up, but for us not to use it, it's back to.
Well, we're trying to change.
How do you this is the only way we can inspect what we expect. Mm-hmm. And to me, coming from the business world, management without measurement is management.
Right.
It's the regular review of results, which we don't have either.
Okay. Let's let Jeff continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could just make one slight side comment, which is that in relation to Representative Nelson's concerns, as I'm sure you're all aware, the federal government essentially has a regular sunset review process that they have for all their agencies, and they go through exactly what you were saying, and it's a version of zero-based budgeting, really. It's not every year, but you have agencies on a regular schedule, and they essentially have to come in and say, well, this is what we do, and this is why we do it, and this is how, and these are the results we get. And there's that's another model for how you get to zero base without having to have every agency start from zero every time, and you just do it on a regular cycle. So let me go back here to finish the timeline. So agencies were expected to come in with the data this month, or I'm sorry, last month. We got it from most all agencies, and the legislature obviously has the authority to change those measures. And they will be changed, I'm sure. And that's that has already happened, where once you lay these measures out, members can then go, well, I don't agree that the number of individuals served is really the measure you ought to be looking at. I want you to be looking at the number of individuals who aren't served, or, you know, but it allows you to have the opportunity as the overseers to really see what it is an agency is saying their results are going to be, what the money is being spent on. So those adjustments will be made, and then in September, and every September from now on, agencies will have to submit an annual performance report. So beginning this September, you will have for every single state agency in the same format, answering the same questions, which we'll review in a few minutes, what their performance was. And the three questions we ask, really, when you get down to it, is what are you planning to do, how did you do, and what are you going to do about it? So those are the three things we really want every agency to be able to say. And that's what all this is oriented towards. It'll all be public record. My hope is that one day we'll actually have a state government report that focuses on what state government has accomplished that year. So we'll be able to kind of aggregate it up. Now, that's not on anybody's radar screen right now, but I'm saying my hope is that this will lead us to the ability to have the information to do a state government performance report. This is what you, the taxpayers of Oregon, paid for last year as the state government's results. So, just real quickly, the basic criteria are: we are requiring all agencies to use the same terms and mean the same thing when they say the words that they say. So that's been a huge change, but it really, really has helped. The measures that they use, this is one of the things we look at: does it actually allow you to gauge progress towards the goals and the benchmarks that the agency is linked to? Now, that implies that they have well-stated set of goals, and that's one of the areas that we've had to start with, well, what really are your goals? Because these aren't really very clear, or, you know, they need help on, well, help us articulate what the goals are. So we've gotten a lot of that accomplished. The legislature was very clear, that is, the legislative members were very clear, we want a few key measures. We don't want you to throw 100 measures at us. We want you to choose what are the most important measures. So almost every agency has 30 or fewer what we call externally reported measures. They've got to have targets. So they've got to say where they're going to be in 05. And then when 05 rolls around, you'll be able to see where they said they were going to be and where they were. And we will also have an explanation for why. And lastly, and the auditor was part of this work group, we are assuring that the information agencies are using is accurate and reliable, at least as short as we can be by having them at least listing the sources, because we ought to be able to go back and replicate the numbers for any measure that any state agency is using. And hopefully the auditor will start using this information when they do their agency audits in the future, when you're looking at agency issues relating to what they accomplished, their performance. Just real quickly, we use this, what we call this logic model approach, which is we get agencies to think through what it is they do in terms of their work and how to measure their success at every step along the way. So if you look at recidivism, it's one of the things that the Department of Corrections is involved in. They do the following. They do intake and they assess the needs of folks who come into the system. So they have an output, which is the number of intake assessments that they have actually finished. Next is that they get these folks engaged in work or training or education or other activities in order to... Oh, thank you very much. In order to begin to address the issues that they have. So they have that measure, the percent that are involved. Then they actually measure the change in the way they behave as part of the programs that they're involved in. And lastly, we know how many of those folks reoffend once they're outside. So we work through agencies to come up with this kind of a logical approach to what it is they do and what results they hope to see. And then they choose which of these measures they want to have to be the one to judge their performance. Oops, excuse me. Hit the wrong button there. So, as I said, virtually every state agency went through this training process, this logic model development in O2. And I think we have a pretty good set of measures. So, the third piece, to get back to the four areas that I started with, which is shared strategies.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Representative Bakke. Agencies, does that include all of the boards and commissions?
It does.
Individually or as a whole?
Individually. We did, Mr. Chair, train a representative from every single agency. We'd done a couple of other specialized trainings for small boards, and I know many of their executive directors quite well at this point, as they've kind of worked through this. The Board of Psychological Examiners, the Board of Veterinary Medicine, the Parole Board. I know all those executive directors, and and they have the issue as you were speaking about a little earlier, of going, well, we're kind of independent. We don't get general fund. Why do we need to do this? And well, you need to do it by statute. That's you're still in front of Ways and Means. You have to do it. The only agencies that have not been involved in this particular training process are the constitutional agencies that are not under the Department of Administrative Services. So,
like what?
Secretary of State, State Treasurer, Governor's Office. Legislative
branch, and
judicial branch,
right.
and the Supreme Court,
right.
Judicial branch,
right, the Supreme Court. Now we've been happy to work with them if they wanted us to. It's not like they've been excluded, but we have no requirement authority over them. So, shared strategies. You may be interested to know that for eight of the benchmarks in 01, we have to update this. There were four or more agencies that said that they had some responsibility for influencing one of the benchmarks. Well, again, from a strategic point of view, the questions arise, do those agencies work together on the benchmark? Do they have a plan? Do they have a lead agency? Are they aggregating the results so we look and see what it all adds up to if we have four agencies that are all working on, adult high school equivalency? Those are all strategic issues, which I think the executive branch is going to be more interested in as part of the governor's management initiative than we have seen in years past. One of the projects we're going to embark on, I think soon, with the governor's at his request, is starting to look across agencies at their measures. So if you look at the area, for instance, of child well-being, what are the agencies that are involved in that? If you take all of their goals and all of their measures that have to do with kids and you put them all up on a board, where are the gaps? Where are the overlaps, and where are the areas where we're actually kind of on target? And hopefully we'll be getting the business community involved in this. It's not off the ground yet, but that's one of the things I think is going to happen.
Do you have your hand up, Representative?
Yes, I do, please. Mr. Chair?
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Tynes. This proves exactly one of the points that we brought up in the budgets cycle that we never address. Here's one more reason these things should come to this committee, are the duplicate services. Now, when I came into this job, I asked, what should I work on from old people, mm-hmm. Oh, not age, but who'd been here, and and that was one of the issues. And they said, I said, well, give me an example. And they said, well, Donna, do, for example, do child care services. And, you know, time and time again, I found various agencies all have those same services. Mm-hmm. You know, why didn't they go into one place? Abused women is one. You can call state police. You can call the commission. And you can call the department. You know, I mean, every one of them. So that's that duplicate services. And this, you know, this 8 benchmarks with 4 more proves it. So I think we owe it to the people paying for these services to use something to eliminate, you know, unnecessary overhead.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, excuse me. I wouldn't argue with you that there are opportunities to look at these kinds of questions around results. The Progress Board, there are only 3 of us, so we hope that our tools will be used, and we are more than happy to cooperate in whatever way we can to see that they are used. I mentioned a little while ago the Senate Bill 555, Partners for Children and Family process, and that was legislation that was enacted back in 1997 that required a 5 state agencies to work with local entities of that are involved in supporting families in a variety of ways. This gets right to your point that you were just raising, Representative Nelson, to come to the table and do shared planning, do shared evaluation, and eventually to begin to put their dollars on the table and begin to look at shared resources. I sit on the steering committee for Senate Bill 555, and it has been a long process to get this to work, but it is in fact showing some positive results. And one of the things that we've been able to do is require them to what we would call look up to a set of benchmarks that they have to organize their activities around, and there are 19 in all. They only have to choose 5, but at least we have the same high level measures for every county in this area of services to children and families, which we are beginning to get everybody to talk about the same way. But we're looking at a couple of key measures which hopefully one day we'll be able to look at across every county that all counties are working on and working towards improving. But this has helped this process measurably. And there are other examples as well. This is the one I'm the most familiar with because I've been working on it for so long. The evaluation piece. Progress Board will be doing a new version of this report, and we have made a preliminary version available to Ways and Means so they can use this information when they're reviewing agencies, because every agency has to either link up to one of the benchmarks or more of the benchmarks, or if not that, small agencies like this. Well, actually, these guys have number 14 and number 59 that they link up to. What we're doing is we're doing a brief write-up for every one of the benchmarks, and it will look like this. So this is number 56. This is the one that relates to child support. Ever since I came here, the most common thing that people ask me is, are we making any progress? So I decided to answer that this time in the way we write the reports. So up in the upper right-hand side, you'll see making progress. And the answer for this is yes. As you can see, that line, that's actually the trend line on how we've done. Yes, but. And the but is that that we've made little progress since 1999, and in fact, in our national ranking, we slipped from being the 18th highest in terms of being able to collect the payments to 28th. And we're actually working on writing up an answer for why that is. But this is the kind of information that we have available for every benchmark, which gives us the trend, the long term, some analysis of the short-term trend and any national way we have to compare. What we've learned is that Oregonians only like to compare themselves to Washingtonians. They're not real comfortable with the rest of the region as people that they want to view themselves as kind of being like. Washington works, and they're also okay with the national average. But that's about it. So we either do Washington or we do the national average. And so that's the information that we'll have this time, and then we'll write a sort of a summary for each of the sections. And these are the questions that agencies will have to answer as part of their annual agency performance reports. What are the goals that your measure is linked to? What did the data say about how Oregon has done? So we ask them to do a self-evaluation of how they've done vis-a-vis their goals with the measures they're using. And what does the performance measure actually say about the progress that's being made? In other words, why do you have that measure? How did you compare with the target that you set for yourself? What is an example of the kinds of things the agency is involved with that's trying to have an impact on that measure? And then what needs to be done? So those are the questions that you will be able to see the answer to on the annual report.
Mr. Chair, just one quick question.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Shouldn't you have an evaluation from clients and vendors? Clients, vendors, and lenders, which would be the taxpayers.
I'm sorry.
Businesses do that.
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, we are requiring agencies for the 2005-2007 reporting time to have some measure of their satisfaction of their stakeholders, their customers. So that will be a requirement that is in the measures, that agencies will have to have that.
And follow up, shouldn't that be by a independent group?
It should be, Madam Vice Chair, but that is out of the realm of being affordable for some agencies, not others. But our recommendation is that it be done by an independent organization. There are agencies that now hire someone to do it for them. For instance, the Economic and Community Development Department, they hire somebody from outside and they come in and they make the calls, they ask the questions, they do the report. Some other agencies simply mail out a mailer to everybody who's used their website, or they'll do something like that. So it varies a lot. In theory, they should all be independent, and maybe one day we'll actually reach that point. Right now, a lot of agencies don't have it at all. There's no way for them to get feedback on how they're doing. So we're just trying to institute the idea first to make sure that everybody has to have something about how they're the people who are receiving the services that they are offering are viewing them. I would just lastly say that in terms of my own report card on how we've done with the four areas that I've shared with you, I'd say in terms of the Oregon Shines vision, and it stood up well, and in fact, if there are some parts of it that if we had been following it over the decade, we'd be lots better off than we are now. It's not the vision's problem. The measures are pretty good. We still have some areas we need to improve them, but we have a pretty good set of measures. Shared strategies, we have all the kinds of issues which Representative Nelson was raising, which is to say we don't do a real good job of being clear about who's sharing what and how. With this work right here, we're beginning to do, I think, a much stronger job at being able to evaluate what all this is adding up to. And that's ultimately what we need to be able to do, is are we doing a good job with the resources we have as a state government, as local government, as a state. I'll leave you with a list of reports that you can find on the Progress Board's website. That is the web address. You all should have gotten via email, and I don't know if you all received it and had a look at it, but we did a report last fall called 10 Ideas for Improving Oregon State Government Performance and Accountability. That is not in the packet because it was 37 pages long, and I didn't want to use all the paper for it. But I'm happy if anybody wants that who hasn't got it to share that with you. It is on the website, but it has a lot of ideas in here of things that we could do to build on what we already have. For instance, there's no requirement now that agencies mount this on their own homepage. We're gonna ask them if they'd be willing to do that. But it may be that there might be something the legislature might want to do to move this reporting part of the measurement work ahead. There are, anyway, a number of ideas in here, and if anybody wants one of these, I'm more than happy to leave this for you if one of you wants it. Or okay. And that's the end of my remarks, Mr. Chair.
Jeff, thank you very much. We have a few minutes left. I don't intend for us to go much more than probably about 10 till 10 or so, but if there are any questions that you have for Jeff... or comments. I'll come to you last. Nobody down here?
Thank you.
Any comments? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm a sponge, so that just y'all, more y'all, the smarter I get, so I listen to you. I just wonder if you ever, Jeff, Mr. Tarns, compare yourself to Governing Magazine. You know, when they evaluated us, mm-hmm. you know, we got an F in communications and an F in rainy day fund. That's the first thing I did when I mm-hmm. announced for office, and I wanted to find out where we were rated. Have you compared our system to their system of evaluating our government?
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, we actually have the Governing Magazine rating of Oregon State Government as one of the benchmarks. So it's one of the ways we measure our own success as a state. We got nicked the last time, and we went down from an A- to a B+ on managing for results because we didn't have a viable way of linking benchmarks up to agencies because performance measures weren't in place and weren't required, which was one of the impetuses for the House bill, which was enacted last time. And I think we'll go back up to an A- at least with this new system that we have in place. But we pay a lot of attention to it.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. But overall, you know, where you said we want to measure entire accountability of government, mm-hmm. they take those, is it six categories? Mm-hmm. I believe, and I compared, you know, Oregon with every one of
right.
the states.
Right.
I mean, so for a B overall, you know, that was interesting to me compared, here we compare ourselves just to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But in both of those areas, we've, you know, thank goodness for the Education Stability Fund, we've not yet cured those problems of communicating with our, you know, with the state people.
Mm-hmm.
People do not know, for example, what we're doing here. I heard that very well done on this on OPB. It's just because we make law doesn't mean the people know what it is. So we do need to improve that, and I don't know if that's included in here. I just wondered if it was.
In terms of, I'm not sure what your question is.
Our state activities, our state laws to our constituents.
Uh-huh.
I mean, have we improved? That was one of the two areas of the rainy day fund where we were really, you know, rated down.
Their new ranking does not come out till 2004, so we won't have any new information on them for another year, probably till the end of 2004 is what.
But if we don't have our constituents rate us on communicating with them, the state, you know, knowing the laws, just like we have two tax issues that are real critical, income tax right now and estate tax, and they need to know they're not going to have to pay the penalties. But if the Department of Revenue doesn't communicate this, which they haven't done, how do the citizens know this? And for those that don't have email to go onto websites and find out this information, those, for example, the child care credit that just came in January, how do these people know these things are happening? Knowing that you can go to the pharmaceutical companies for your prescriptions now that, you know, they've been cut by the state. I mean, where is this huge bulletin board that, you know, communicates, and whose responsibility is it?
Madam Vice Chair, I'm afraid I don't have an answer to that question.
Could you put that on your list, please? Of benchmarks we need.
I would point out that that's part of your job.
is to let them know.
I wish I knew. I wish I could afford the Oregonian.
I think that one of the things that I would point out also about Governing Magazine, they just had an article, I think, in February issue, and it's called How We Tax. And it talks about all 50 states. And I would point out that Oregon is ranked very well by them for how we manage our resources, but we're ranked pretty low on our adequacy of our resources. So just a point in passing. Jeff, I would like to thank you for presenting this to us this morning, and especially on such short notice.
Oh, excellent.
He is, I would just point out to the committee that he is a wealth of information and very willing to come and visit with you on at any time, and will share whatever information he has with you. And I would like to thank the committee for your indulgence on this. I hope that you found this to be useful and not a waste of time, because I think that, and every time I've had Jeff come and do a presentation, he's done presentations in my district as well as for committees that I've been involved with, and I've always found the information to be very worthwhile and very interesting. So I hope that you have found it to be interesting as well, and to be informative, and if nothing else, to point out where there is other information that's available, so that if you want more information, and you can certainly call Jeff, but the website is really filled with a plethora of information as well. So Jeff, thank you, and committee, thank you. Since we don't have anything else before us, we will stand adjourned.